Good. God's good, eh? I just have been challenged recently by certain circumstances and been really encouraged by the fact that Jesus is faithful. Our God is faithful. And I've been on a journey recently. You have to excuse my voice. I almost lost it last night. So just bear with me on that. If I sound like a 12-year-old boy, then just bear with me through that one. But I've just been encouraged with the fact that our God is faithful and that He is with us constantly. He's with us all the time. And when seemingly there is no answer, all of a sudden He shows up and gives us an answer. And it may not be how we expected. It may not be what we're expecting, but he turns up with an answer. And I've just been encouraged recently by what's been going on in the Derwent Valley and what's been going on in here in youth and young adults. It was just fantastic what's going on and the way God's hand is on this year. And looking at a confident year, just seeing God's hand through the whole thing, I can testify, stand up here and testify that God is faithful. Amen? Amen. So yeah, we're having a great time with God. As a church, we're having a great time with God. And one thing I want to look at today is the fact that in Australia this year, and recently in New Zealand, there's been some pretty terrible things, hasn't there? It's been pretty full on as a country and as our friends in New Zealand. It's been a monstrous start to the year. And what I want to discuss today is the fact that our God is good, but as a church, what is our message to those who are going through a tough time? As a church, how do we respond to people who are going through a tough time? And it may not be through a flood, it may not be through the fire, it may not be through an earthquake, it may just be through life. Who's got kids? Everyone up the back. Kids can have pressure. Kids can bring pressure into your life at certain times. They're a blessing from God, absolutely. But when you line up work, when you line up your spousal relationship, when you line up your kids, when you line up issues that could be happening in family or work, if I keep going this way, I'll have a crash. I'll go this way. If we line up all these things in our life, who knows that we can have pressure in our life? Things can add up. Things can just build, and all of a sudden we've got all this pressure, and we go, "Ah, God, I'm in a bind here. Oh God, where do I go from here? God, what happens?" And when we're looking at visions on TV of the inland tsunami, wasn't that a wow? I remember a week before up at Teen Challenge, just going, "Yeah, as if Toowoomba would flood. Yeah, sure, that would happen." And then seeing it happen, just standing back going, "Whoa, don't I feel like an idiot right now?" And seeing some of these things, how do we even deal with that, us who aren't really affected, but affected because it's our country? How do we do it? How do we go to someone and say, "Look, I understand what you're going through," or "I don't understand what you're going through, but I'm here for you," and then to be able to share with them what God wants to share with them? You see, life isn't always a bed of roses, is it? Sometimes stuff happens. Sometimes things happen. So what is our response as a church? What is our response as people of God? Because I believe we need to have a response. You see, our pressures can be the day-to-day issues. They can be our corporate issues. They can be just external pressures, just a build-up of things in our life. And for many people in this country and around the world, this is a horrific, painful time. For others, it is a time where we start, we can ask questions about life. We can ask questions about God. Who here has had a conversation about God's role in what's been happening? Yeah, there's a number of hands. Yeah. I've had a number of conversations about why is God allowing this to happen? Why is God doing this to us? See, at this time when we see some of these happening, and as a country, we can look at what's going on and be questioning our own beliefs. We could be stepping back going, "I don't know what to do." With many of these questions can come anger. With many of these questions can become frustrations. With many of these questions, they're throwing up of their hands and going, I don't know what to, I just don't know. I don't know what's going on. I just don't understand what's happening. What now? This could be feelings of just being numb, of sorrow. It can be questions like, God, why couldn't you not have stopped this? Where were you? Where to from here? You see, when things like this happen, all of a sudden, we start asking God a heck of a lot of questions, don't we? And we hear of people asking the same questions. And sometimes we go, Jesus this and Jesus that, and Jesus, you should have done this, you should have stopped that, that in Lancaster number should not have happened, that the floods there shouldn't have happened, the earthquake shouldn't have happened, this shouldn't have happened, my loved one who died, shouldn't have happened. God, my turn to take over. And we can start having serious doubts. But you know what? This is not just something that's something that's happening now. This is not a new thing. This has been happening right back to when Jesus was on earth. This is not a new question that we're asking. This is a question that's been raised up time and time again. Jesus had a really good friend called Lazarus. Anyone know, heard of Lazarus? And this is a story I'm going to read from John chapter 11. I'll just give you a couple of seconds to grab John chapter 11, verse 33. It comes up on the screen. I'm using a slightly different version. John chapter 11, verse 33. When Jesus saw that Mary and the people with her were crying, he, Jesus, was terribly upset and asked, where have you put the body? They replied, Lord, come and you will see. We'll show you where it is. We'll take you to the body. Jesus started crying, or some versions will say Jesus wept. Jesus got emotional at this point, probably for a number of different reasons, not just because one of his best friends had just passed away. There's probably a lot going on in this if you unpack that. But Jesus started crying, and the people said, just imagine, we're all there. Jesus is here, and we're all walking to the tomb, and we're all heading off there. And the people said, when they saw Jesus crying, see how he loved Lazarus. See how he loved Lazarus. Oh, he was a good friend. His heart was for Lazarus. But there were some, who am I going to pick on? This side over here. There were some, everyone give this side a dirty look. All right. Give him a dirty look. There were some who said, he gives sight to the blind. Why couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Everyone go, boo. Oh, people of little faith over this side. No, just joking. It's all good. It's all good. See, the question came, see how he loved Lazarus, but there were some in the group that said, he gave sight to the blind. Why could he not have healed Lazarus? And this is the question that we sometimes ask of God. God, you've done this. You've died on the cross. You've done this and this and this. And we can look back, but why could you not have healed my mother? Why could you not have healed my daughter? Why could you not have turned up at this time? Why could you not have done this? Why couldn't this happen? Why couldn't you turn up and stop the tsunami? Why do I have to go through this pain? Why do I have to experience these things? What is going on, God? And the same question was asked back here with Lazarus. See, Jesus has a plan, but we don't understand it often. And when we come up questioning God, what we're actually doing is going, God, you're here. You're understanding it here, and I'm way down here. But what I do is, through circumstances, I go, no, I know better than God. God's not doing a good job. I'm going to sack him and do it myself. So is it wrong to question that? I don't believe so. We just got God's way more advanced than us. We've got a lot of things to deal with. It takes us a long time to process things sometimes. It's not wrong to ask questions. But it's unless we're just asking questions and not seeking answers, that's the problem. See, if we're just asking questions, oh, God, this, oh, God, that, but we're not seeking answers, then we need to look at ourselves and just go, what's going on there? See, if you've got questions, you need to seek the answers. If you look, you can look at life sometimes and ask the type of questions that people have. After 9/11, I was listening to Talkback Radio in Brisbane. And it was like 2 days after. And some of the people that were on there, I thought it was a bit set up because an hour, I had to travel an hour across town, so I was just listening to Talkback Radio. And over the hour, I thought this was set up because every question was, where is God? Where was God on 9/11? I thought, so someone just rang up his mates and said, here we go, let's have a God bashing here. That's what it seemed like. But anyway, it was like, at 9/11, this was going on. You know, why people were asking why a loving God would do this. And people have been saying the same thing. I've read some blogs. People have talked to me. Why is God sending floods, fire, cyclones, earthquakes? At least why is he allowing these things to happen? You see, I believe this stems from something deep inside of us, deep inside of all humanity, that is asking the question, why, God, can we not live a painless life? Why, God, do we have to experience death? Why, God, because in the Western world, we run from death. We don't embrace it. We run from it. We hide it. It's secluded. Other cultures celebrate it. Other cultures do that a heck of a lot better than us often. I'm being general there. But the question we're actually asking is a deep question. I believe that's inside of every one of us that asks why do we grieve? Why do we cry? Why do bad things happen? Why this? Why that? Why that? That deep longing inside of us is actually a longing of heaven. It's a longing for heaven that we're actually inside of us going, God, we want a place where there is no crying, where there is no tears. That's in the Bible about heaven. It's actually what's going on inside of us when we're saying these things is just a longing and a yearning for heaven. But here on earth, guess what? We have trials. We have tribulation. We have pain. We have things that we have to overcome. We have things that come against us. We have things that are oppressing. We have things that we need to smash and break through. There are things in our life that we need breakthrough in. Amen? See, here on earth, things aren't going to be rosy. Things aren't going to be all smooth. Things aren't just going to be fine. And yes, we hold on to scriptures like, all things work together for good for those who are in Christ Jesus according to his purposes. We hold on to those verses. We hold on to that because God can turn a negative thing into a positive. God can turn a dead thing into life. God can show up and make things happen. He often does. He does in our life. See, this deep longing in our heart, I believe, is fundamental in all of us. It's something that I believe we all do. We all long for heaven. We all long for a painless life. We all long for purpose. We all long for something that just grabs us and takes our attention. It's just like, wow, God, you are awesome. Who just loves being in worship and just letting your soul, your spirit lift towards God? Where you're connecting with the Holy Spirit and vice versa. That's great, isn't it? You've experienced heaven. That's a longing for heaven, what you're just doing there. But here on earth, we've got to overcome some things. Some things have to happen. See, in this lifetime, there will be those trials. There will be the suffering. We live in a fallen world. That's true. We live in a fallen world. This world is crying out just as much as each individual is crying out to God. It's our nature. Talking about creation is crying out just as much as you and me. We need to, I guess, try and make sense of all this. So what was what was Paul? I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What was Paul's reaction or response to this? What was he going through that made him write this down? I'm looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. It says this: we often suffer. This is the CEV version. We often suffer, but we are never crushed. Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us. And when we are knocked down, we get up again. I'm going to read that from the New King James Version, but I want you to really grasp onto what Paul is saying. There's a negative and a positive going on here. So I want you to really just grasp what's going on here. We are pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. See, Paul had some pressure going on in his life. Paul had some things going on, and his response was in that pressure that there was a suffering. We don't know what to do. We are in trouble. We've been knocked down. We are hard pressed. We are perplexed. That's an interesting word, perplexed, right there. We got no flipping idea what's going on. I look at Paul. Paul, to me, knew everything that was going on. He knew the heart of God. He knew he was so responsive to the Holy Spirit, yet at times he did not know what was going on. Man, that's encouraging for me. Woo! Right there, that's encouraging for me. Perplexed. Persecuted. Anyone been persecuted? Struck down. Paul experienced that physically. Struck down with a rock, and not just one. He experienced this. He knew suffering. Paul knew suffering. He had an understanding of that personally and over a period of time. Yet his response, and I want you to grab hold of his response, because we all experience pain and suffering. We all experience hard times. We all experience pressure. But listen to Paul's response, because it's in his response that we find answers. Listen to this. Through his pressure, Paul found faith and purpose. And this purpose and faith came in this way. We are never crushed. We never give up. God is with us. We get up again. We are not in despair. We are not forsaken. We are not destroyed. Things come against us and we break through. Things come against us. Though we don't understand, we can by faith hold on to what he has for us. We can hold on to that. We can hold on to the fact that we are not in despair. He gives us hope. While we don't know, we don't understand what's going on, and we may not be able to articulate what's going on, he gives us hope. We are not in despair. He has not forsaken us. He's not left us to ourselves and going, well, you're on your own now, crew. Catch us later. I'm going to the Bahamas and put my feet up on the banana lounge. Have fun, world. But he is with us. We get up again. See, this is a culture that I believe that we, God's people, need to have inside of us. Because Paul is like a hero of mine, because I just see him as like this mongrel dog just holding on to something of God and never letting go. See, I think sometimes we in our Western world can be just a little bit soft. I think we can go through some experiences and just go, oh, well, God's not there. But I love the tenaciousness of Paul, that although things, he feels pressure. Have you ever felt pressure on every side? That would be every side, top, bottom, and the box is getting smaller. That's pressure. What's his response? We are never crushed. Can you hear the faith in this? Can you hear the promises of God in this? Can you hear what God is doing here in the life of Paul? We are never crushed. We never give up. God is with us. We get up again. No, we are not in despair. We are not forsaken. We are not destroyed. Amen? See, we need to grasp hold of the things of God. Because often we just go through life doing the things that we do, and we don't even open our Bible and let it transform us. Because I believe when the Bible transforms us, we'll actually get a little bit of mongrel in us. Ever seen a mongrel dog hang onto a rope and you can kind of swing that dog around? That's how we as Christians need to be, hanging on to the things of God. When pressure comes, to respond in faith. I need to keep moving. Let's turn to John chapter 16. Verse 32. It says this, "The time will come and is already here, when all of you will be scattered." This is Jesus speaking. See, this is Jesus' response to hurt and pain. "Each of you will go back home and leave me by myself. But the Father will be with me and I won't be alone." When you feel like everybody has left you, you are never alone. That's the gospel right there. You are never alone. "I have told you this so that you might have peace in your hearts because of me. While you are in the world," get this, this is a promise, okay? Hang on to this, this is a promise of God. "While you are in the world, you will have to suffer." Who's claiming that one? "But cheer up, I have defeated the world." Jesus' response also, I'm spitting really badly. That's all good. There's no one here having a shower. It's all good. You see, Jesus' response was very similar to Paul's. He was saying, "You will have to suffer." Paul's response was, we are hard-pressed on every side going through this. "You will have to suffer, but cheer up. Because I have defeated the world." If you just keep going, if you just keep getting back up, if you just keep just pressing into God, if you just keep holding the devil back and you keep advancing the kingdom of God, then you will overcome the world. He has overcome the world. All we have to do is ride on Jesus' slipstream. All we have to do is listen to the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is apply this book to our lives, and we too will overcome. We too will break through. We too will find answers in times of crisis. We too will find answers in times of trials and pressure. But that happens by hanging on to Him. Peace in chaos. Peace through suffering. Peace through trials, that you might have peace in your hearts. Because there will be suffering. "I've overcome the world," but you can have peace in your heart. That's a powerful, powerful verse right there. Peace in chaos. 2 weeks ago at the official opening of the Dawn Valley Church, Pastor Enzo preached on crossing the other side. He preached on the other side. And it was a really, really great message. And Jesus, he just brought out the fact that Jesus was at peace in the bottom of this boat. Jesus stood on the bank and said, "We're going to the other side." And in the boat, Jesus said that we're going to the other side, so they were going to the other side. What happened? A big storm arose. Jesus was at peace because he knew the will of God. Jesus was at peace because he was walking with Christ. Jesus, well, that's himself, but he was walking with his God. That's complicated. Anyway. So Jesus was at peace because of this. He was asleep through it. While there is panic and stress and pain and sorrow going on in the boat and is going on in our world, we can be at peace because Jesus was at peace. The same peace that Jesus had, we can have in our lives. He places His peace in us, and that's peace that doesn't often make sense. To make heads and tails of that is sometimes you can't do. But He'll just give you His peace. In these times, ask for His peace. Let's look at, see what Peter's response to this was. The pain and suffering. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 6 and 7. On that day, you will be glad. Even if you have gone through many hard trials for a while, your faith will be like gold that has been tested in a fire. And these trials will prove that your faith is worth much more than gold that can be destroyed. They will show that you will be given praise and honor and glory when Jesus returns. That's powerful. That's a powerful verse. On that day, you will be glad. On that day, you will be glad. A day in heaven, you will be glad because you have endured the trials that have felt like you've been in fire, those trials that have felt like you've been pressed in on every side, those trials where you've just felt like the whole world is caving in. But if you press through in faith, there'll be a time when you will be glad. That's cool. That's better than cool. That's powerful. That's faith right there. Through many trials, it's like our faith is tested and the impurities in our faith is burnt away and our faith becomes pure to a point where we can look at the gold in the world and we look at our faith and go, I know which one I'm having. To the point where we can look at all the gold in the world and look at our faith that we've been through trials and go, this is worth much more to me than that. The faith that I have, God has developed in my heart through trials, through tribulations, for me hanging on to God is by far more advantageous than all the gold in the world. Who can testify to that here this morning? Who can testify to that fact that I would rather have my faith in God than all the gold in the world? That comes through going through some stuff with God. That comes through hanging on. That comes through, yes, well, we may ask questions. Yes, well, we may have to answer some questions. Then we will overcome. Just ask the musicians to come back. See, when we endure pressure and trials, we will be glad. That's a biblical promise. We will rejoice. Our faith through pressure and trials becomes purified as gold. Is worth much, much more. Heaven knows the pressure we endure. Heaven sees the pressure we endure. Heaven understands what we go through. It's not for nothing. We will be rewarded, but we've got to hang on. See, in our life, we can be disappointed. We can so many things that can happen in our life for us just to sit back and either cross our arms and go, I'm just happy doing nothing here. Oh, well, I'm just happy just to stay home. I'm just happy just to... But I believe we need to grasp onto God. You know, Jesus said that you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That to me is the gospel in a nutshell. See, when we got hurt and pain from pressure,
we don't often respond well to people. So we need to be asking God to soften our hearts once more. We need to be asking God to challenge us once more. I love working for God. I love challenging people about faith. I love encouraging people. And I want to encourage the church to do the same, to be the same, to love one another, to love our God with all our hearts. See, let's just turn to one more verse here. It's Luke chapter 13. This is actually about a story. Jesus is speaking here once more. Luke chapter 13. Jesus is speaking once more about a tragedy that had happened, two tragedies, in fact, that had happened. One was just an accident that had happened. One was actually by Pilate, that actually did some terrible stuff to people. He goes like this. There was present at that season some who told him, as Jesus, so some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Kind of tells me that Pilate turned up with his men at the temple and just killed some people. Their blood was mingled with the sacrifices, but that's a horrific. Sacrifices were messy. There was lots of blood. There was lots of flesh. This would not have been a pretty sight. This was a horrific event in the life of these people, of these Galileans, caused by Pilate. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things?" Jesus' response was, "No, that's not the case. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Then we hear another story about 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell over and killed 18 people. Do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other people who dwelt in Jerusalem? Jesus' response was no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. See, Jesus was saying here is that tragedies happen. What happened here wasn't because of sin. It wasn't. What's happened in our country wasn't because of sin. It wasn't God with his hand going, "Smack, you deserve that, Australia. You deserve that, New Zealand." That's not the point. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I tell you, no, the sin is no part of this. What it is about is this world is crumbling. What it is about is there's sinful people in the world. What it is about, it's about you needing to find out, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus' response to pain, to suffering here, was you've got to make sure your life is right, because you just never know when your time's up. Jesus' response here was you need to do some business with me, because you need to be make sure that you're in the kingdom of God, because you just never know. You need to repent. Come follow me. See, after 9/11, a very, very well-meaning person said to me, "Imagine the sin in the Twin Towers for God to allow that." My response to that was quite strong, but I was gentle. It wasn't that these people were great sinners. It was just chosen by the terrorists. They just decided, "We're going to grab some planes and fly through these buildings." It wasn't because of sin. It was because somebody said, "We're going to attack." Jesus' response back then and right now is, unless you repent, you may have to face a godless eternity. The Galileans that were killed by Pilate were no more worse sinners than anybody else. The 18 people were no worse sinners than anybody else. But it's just tragedies that occur. And we need to ask ourselves that same question that Jesus asked of them. You need to repent. I need to repent. I need to know who my Savior is. I need to know who my God is. Jesus' words remain, unless you repent, you may also have to face a godless eternity. I so desperately do not want to see that happen for you, for your workmates, for the people that you've been talking with who are asking serious questions about God. Why is he allowing this to happen? See, I just hope that after today, you may even do your own study. You've probably already done it. But when people ask serious questions, we need to give serious answers. We can't just go with the line that we've used for the last 20 years and be happy with that. We need to allow God to challenge us again so we can have answers to a hurting community, to hurting people, that we may be able to say it's not because of sin. But you've got to understand that you've got a God that loves you. He's died for you, and he can give you hope. He can give you purpose. He can give you joy. He can give you peace through this situation, through the trials you are going through. He can give you peace. Is that not the gospel? You got to get good at the gospel. What's the gospel? It's the people next door that's got a sick kid. It could be the fact that Jesus heals. I pray for her. That's the gospel. That's love. Why don't we sing a song? It's just, why don't we stand and just allow God's word just to, I guess, bring transformation to our life, to bring the challenge to our heart. Focus on our God and just allow him to minister to us right now.